There we go. Hi, I'm Jennifer Stover. I am here today at Punkfest, May 28th, 2022. I'm having a hard time remembering the date today. I am here for the Being DIY Punk Archive, and we're doing some on-site interviews about punk with folks in Binghamton. And today I am here with Jessica Steele. S-T-E-E-L-E.
Perfect.
Awesome. And would you mind if we put this in our archive?
No, not at all.
Awesome. Okay. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, Jess.
My name's Jess. I am, I don't know, it's generic. I'm a mom. I'm a nurse. Addiction medicine RN and behavioral health RN. Binghamton, longtime Binghamton resident. I came when I was 14, graduated from Binghamton High School, got involved in the underground scene around 16 years old. Had a lot of experience there, moved away, came back, got back into it a little bit, a little different than it used to be. So I did start with a few friends organizing some of our own festivals. Started off feminist, and then it got, as we got more and more into like our politics, we realized we needed to center more queer, gender nonconforming people, and it just became more and more radical from there. Fortunately, COVID messed that up to continue, but yeah. And I'm still organizing in community. I don't really know what else to say.
What first drew you to the underground scene at 16?
So I just remember my very first show was the show at Rennell's. And I remember my friend wanted to go, and their parents wouldn't let them go by themselves. So they asked me to come, and I was like, okay. And I came, and I was blown away. You know, being in high school, there's a lot of like high school politics and all this stuff, and I always felt like strange, different. And I went there, and it was just a lot of different people, a lot of different styles, a lot of DIY, a lot of energy, and when I first went, it was very, very diverse too. It was really cool. So I remember I've just never had been a part of that or knew that something like that existed in Binghamton. And then after that, I don't know what it was. I was addicted to the energy. Like I loved going. I loved it. And I was always, anytime there was a show, I was there. It was my favorite.
where was Rennell's? Was that in?
That's where Spotlight is now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It changed multiple times, but at the time it was Rennell's, yeah.
Did they have punk shows there a lot?
I don't think I can say, because I think I only went to two there before it wasn't Rennell's anymore.
That happens a lot.
So, yeah. That would be something for maybe the older punks to answer. Not that I feel like I'm one of the older punks now, but... Yeah.
I was just going to ask you how you feel that, because you've stayed involved in the scene, like that's something or stayed involved in punk in general,
right?
That a lot of folks don't necessarily do, and like what has kept you going, and how do you see it different, like out here today at Punkfest?
Yeah, so I think for me what it is that it was a constant reinvention. When I feel like people leave the scene because it doesn't work for them anymore, you know? And I think for me is that when the scene wasn't working for me anymore, I created my own or went and found another one. Because I love it so much, and I believe in it, and I believe in apolitical philosophies, and I believe in DIY, and I believe in community. And those things are so general that they can exist in so many different ways. You know, so it can constantly be reinvented. So I think that's how I stayed in. I won't say I stayed with the same people, but I definitely stayed in DIY for sure, because it's so magical to me, and I think I wanted to continue that and spread it. I don't want it to die here, and it's not, obviously. It's like what's going on today. All these kids are so young, and I remember being their age and being at shows, and there were like 30-year-olds around. Now I'm the 30-year-old around, but it's so cool. It's so cool to see, and I don't know. Maybe it's something in the water. It just organically happens in Binghamton that kids. It could be that we don't have a lot going on. Kids just you know, get inspired and put it together themselves. It's just freaking, it's awesome. It's amazing. I love it.
I love also hearing you talk about the way that your politics kind of like also organically grew from
punk,
your
yeah.
punk community. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Could you say a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I think as a, like a black, queer, non-man, you know, you can be, you're in these scenes that you think are apolitical and, you know, like, you know, I don't know if I can swear, but like, totally F the state, fuck the yeah. state, you know, and it's really exciting when I first got into the scene, everyone, you know, like Nazi punk, fuck off and whatever. I was like, this is for me. Like, yeah. that's that shit, right? That's, I'm about it, whatever. And then you can grow and like see how the like white supremacy and patriarchy is really embedded in all of us, not inherently, but we learn it, and we learn in systems, and unlearning is a constant thing. So it's not, I think at first it was like really exciting, and then you start peeling back the layers and you realize that the ways that these scenes still uphold white supremacy, capitalism, patriarchy, and it gets frustrating because you think it's one way, and then and you really sold on, you know, the dream, and then you slowly find out that it's not. So that can be disappointing sometimes, you know, but then that's when you reinvent, and that's when you find the people who like align with you or are ready to grow with you, ready to like unpack with you, you know, take accountability, all of those fun things, and yeah. And evolve. And when punk is not evolving, that's when punk, quote unquote, dies, in my personal opinion. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So I think that lived experience in underground scenes, but also my own experiences, my own learning. A lot of times, like, I feel like in the underground scene, I couldn't find the answers I wanted. And then I had to go and look elsewhere. And even those answers weren't in typical, like, punk arenas, you know? Like, reading the Crass autobiography was very enlightening, you know, but I'm not going to hear much about the types of things I would hear from, like, Combahee River Collective mm-hmm. or Audre Lorde, that, like, center black women and talk about their voices not being heard. So it's also realizing, too, that punk isn't just, like, an aesthetic, and it's not just, you know, mohawks and studded vests and saying fuck the police, but it really is like an ideology, in that people that maybe don't follow the aesthetic are punker than some of the people I've ever like met or heard about who identify as punk. So once I really broke it down, I was just like, you know, I think that I evolved myself and I found so much more about myself and I felt stronger, like I had a voice. So yeah, it really, yeah,
was sounds like, was FemFest a part of that evolution?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that for a while, and a lot of, I feel like, non-men in the scene felt that way for a while. Like, it's very obvious that it's very man-run, especially straight men, especially white men. And you feel like you don't have the power. You feel like you don't have the platform. And so it was really exciting to, like, actually meet other non-men who wanted to put that into action and, like, finally do it after me. And I think that that was 2016 or 17. And I started in the scene, like, 10 years before, you know, and very rarely saw a show that was curated by, like, anyone that wasn't a white man. So yeah. It was really, really, really cool. And I was like, fuck yeah. I felt like I was alone and I can't do it by myself. And we put that power together. And not only was it an excellent show, but it was beyond any other show I've ever been to. Like, it was educational. It was, there was art, you know, there was community, there's food, you know. It's not always food at punk shows.
No.
You know, stuff like that. It was, we're talking about things like accessibility. We're talking about things like...
I brought peanuts in my bag today because I was like, it's a punk show. There's going to be no food. No, I might as well have some peanuts. But there's tortas here today.
Don't catch me hungry. I had to learn that real quick. And you need to eat before or have a plan for food. I bring snacks with you. And water, too. Oh, my God. There's never any water. Remember to bring your water. Yeah, so... Yeah, so those things, like, yeah. And it can still be punk, and you can have free water, people. Like, it doesn't have to be, I guess, in order to be DIY, be this bare-bone thing. It can still be accessible. It can still cater to people's physiological needs. And
that punk can be about care for people. Like, yeah. You know, it's that it's not... like necessarily this kind of nihilistic sense of being that
right.
It can be about care and that
being
very
it does
radical.
It very quickly becomes I don't give a fuck about anything
yes.
And then it just feels like we're veering off from what the true ideology is and then we're not caring about things that do matter so there is a way to say like fuck the system and not care about what the fuck they think and still care about each other. That's what we have to do as a community. It's the only way that we will survive this hellscape. So we need each other.
Amen. Yeah. Seriously. Do you have any particular, I guess, punk rock memory you'd like to share with us or...
Oh, man.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure you have
no,
a ton.
It's okay.
Is anything speaking to you today? Maybe being inspired by Punk Fest to...
I mean, do I have a lot of memories? Yeah. I mean, I feel like my early 20s and my teens were just very memorable. I don't know, man. We did, I mean, DIY, like, really just went beyond the shows and into our lives. So, like, we were doing a lot of things that we wanted to do within the scope of our own resources, you know? So, a lot of off-the-cuff, like, adventures, and we're sleeping in the back of vans, you know what I mean? We have no plan. We just get in the car and go, you know? And it's just, I guess, I don't know. I'm on the spot right now.
No, I'm not.
The specific,
spirit is so
I think
important.
I can speak on the energy of it, but like, yeah, like we really did just fly off the cuff and we had to take care of each other because there was no plan, you know, but it was really cool. And what was really cool too is that we were able to entertain ourselves with absolutely nothing. It was always entertaining. It was always fun. It was always doing stupid shit. It was literally always thinking, trying to think outside of the way we were conditioned to think. So we were always doing weird stuff because it's like, what harm does this do? Like,
why not?
Like over here, you know, over here. It didn't harm anyone. It's weird. It's fun. We're laughing. Like, let's, whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing.
I know. I love it. I love it.
Well, thank you for talking with me today, mm-hmm. and I know we'll get to talk to each other more doing the
Hell yeah.
do the punk archive. And
yes,
thank you for just being amazing.
Hit me up, you know
yes,
my email.
I will.
Yes,
thank you. And I know, like, there's thinking about FemFest and PunkFest. Like, you remind me, it's been like 5 years when a lot of these, you know, a lot of those folks out there saw FemFest. And we're inspired to start playing guitars and start, like, the scene feeds
itself.
It's really
cool. Even, like, May Day at Riot Act, the organizers were telling me how they were inspired by Lady Fest. A lot of things have been inspired by Lady Fest that are radical in the community, which is so cool. They're having music. They're having art. They're having political education. They're having, you know, food and water. And
kids.
Yes. Especially. They're making it inclusive to not only just... sexualities, genders, disabilities, but also ages. And it's so cool. And it's so cool. And I just hope we do more forever.
Thank you.